Realtor.com is making a stand for buyer representation, and you can too. Join Realtor.com in sharing the list of 111 things buyer's agents do. Visit Realtor.com/buyer agent toolkit to help spread the word. Buyer agents are essential.
You know, M&A is slowly making a comeback. You know, we think we've seen the bottom in our industry in terms of existing home sales. You know, NAR, for example, is forecasting a 13% bump in existing home sales this year. That's going to boost confidence in our industry. That's going to boost confidence in not only sellers as they position themselves for an exit strategy. It's also going to boost the confidence of purchasers as we start to see our industry recover from what we think is the bottom in existing home sales. And as we can, it's, you know, as we see a hopefully a year of recovery. We're seeing more and more sellers come who are interested, and we're getting more and more calls from purchasers who are saying, hey, look, this environment doesn't scare me. I realize that in order to be successful, I need to continue to grow, and I want to take advantage of this environment. I want to make acquisitions, and I want to grow in order to be, you know, a top firm in my market or my region or the nation in the years to come. So we're seeing more and more activity. It's not as strong as it has been since before COVID, but you know, we do think there's going to be a resurgence of M&A this year.
Welcome to the Real Trending Podcast. Today, I am speaking with Scott Wright. He's a partner with RTC Consulting, the premier consulting firm for brokerage mergers and acquisitions and business valuations for teams and brokerages. And they've been collecting brokerage and team benchmarking data for the past 12 years. And he's going to share some really interesting national trends on what brokers and teams are spending, what their average spend is of company dollar on personnel costs and occupancy costs. He's also going to talk about some of the trends that he's been seeing in costs. In fact, for example, occupancy costs have been down about 6%, which is really no surprise, but it's interesting nonetheless to be able to benchmark your business against some of the national averages. And then we also get into some team valuations and some of the mistakes teams are making when they're building their brokerages to really have that value when they're ready to retire or want to sell their team to someone else beyond just a referral fee on their database. So tune in and enjoy. And also Scott and Steve Murray will be at the Gathering in April doing their Dealmakers Conference, which will also go into the trends in M&A and who's buying brokerages. Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tracy. How are you?
I am doing well. So Scott and I had a long chat about colleges. Both our kids are heading to college next year, so that's always fun. But Scott and I have been working together for quite a long time through Real Trends, and now he is a partner with RTC Consulting. So we're going to talk all things M&A and business valuation, brokerage valuation. So I'll start with our Dealmakers Conference, which is coming up in April, and you and Steve Murray are leading that at the Gathering. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what content real estate leaders can expect at that.
Absolutely. And first of all, you know, our kids that are leaving for college are both our youngest. So we're both going to be empty nesters, Tracy. So we're going to have to find something to do with all of our free time, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, Steve and I are really excited to do the Dealmakers portion of the Gathering in April again. It's one of the highlights of our year. We got a great panel that's going to be there with us. It's obviously going to be Steve and I. We're going to have Chrissy Oliver from Compass with us. She's the head of M&A over there, and she's always wonderful to have and has lots of really neat insights into what's happening in the market and what's happening in M&A. We're also joined by Kevin Walsh, who's got a lot of experience in M&A. He's currently the CFO at Century 21 New Millennium, and he's going to be a great panelist to have with us as well to be able to talk with him about deals that he's done in the past and how they're doing deals today and kind of what the market's looking like from their perspective. So We'll be covering a number of topics on the Dealmakers panel. We'll be talking about who's buying brokerages today, because it's a lot different in today's market than it was a few years ago. So we're going to be talking about who the buyers are. We're going to be talking about how deals are structured. This, you know, in the post-COVID market, there's been a lot of change in deal structure over the last couple of years, and even the last 6 to 12 months, it's been radically different. We're going to talk a little bit about how to build profitability in your brokerage, how to boost your valuation. You know, we've seen a tough environment in valuations, and we get a lot of calls from broker owners wondering, gosh, is my brokerage worth anything? And this is potential sellers. And how, if it is, or even if it's not, what do I do to boost my value? So when I am ready to go to the market, there is some value there, or increased value as compared to what it is today. We'll talk a little bit about, business aspects and impact valuations, and changes to how brokerages are valued, which is very different. We've gone through some different approaches, different methods, different basis on how we look at valuations over the last 3 years. It's been fun to watch that change a little bit, but also come back to the way it has been over the last 25, 30 years, which we'll dive into at the conference. And then just general trends in M&A and, you know, what's going on in the market. And so it's going to be real fun. It's going to be a great time. We're going to be covering a lot of really important topics that I think most of the folks in the audience will get a lot of value out of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's fascinating that every year we do this conference, and every year things are changing with, you know, who's buying brokerages and how deals are structured. And that, I mean, there's a lot of similarity, but there's some creative things going on right now. So I am looking forward to that. And we'll touch a little bit on that in the podcast. I do want to talk about RTC Consulting and Real Trends has been tracking brokerage spending for years. I don't even know how many. You can probably tell me. So tell me a little bit about that benchmarking data. I know that it's also a service that you offer through your valuations, but tell me a little bit about what you track and how that impacts brokerage.
No, absolutely. In doing valuations, it's super important to understand how somebody's doing financially and operationally compared to their peers, right? I mean, you could look at somebody's company on a standalone basis and say, okay, well, I think they're doing pretty good, or they don't look like they're doing pretty good. But in order to really get an apples to apples comparison to understand how they're truly doing relative to their industry peers, it's super important to have some kind of a benchmark. In the financial world, we call it a common size analysis. Evaluators throughout, throughout any industry need to have some way to perform a common size analysis with industry peers so they can really drill down on how they're truly doing both operationally and financially. That kind of comparable data doesn't really exist in our industry from a publicly accessible standpoint. It's not like we can go out and pay some kind of data service to gather benchmark information on residential real estate brokerage firms. It's just not the nature of our industry. That there's not a lot of transaction data out there. There's not a lot of valuation data out there. So we decided to, you know, kind of create our own. And about 12 years ago, we really started to log and record all the information we were getting from all of our valuation clients. We also get some privileged access to other brokerage firms in the country from other means, whether it's from our, some of our mastermind groups or other privileged access. And we've been able to put together this database. We do tons of valuations, hundreds of valuations a year. So this database is very accurate and reliable, and it provides us with that common size analysis. It provides us with that benchmark analysis, so we can compare our clients with how they're doing in this industry, how they're doing relative to their peers. And we have developed this reliable benchmark that's been tremendously useful to our clients so they can understand what they can do to improve if they're above or below certain benchmarks operationally or financially. And so that's kind of how we developed that benchmark and how useful it is today in kind of analyzing trends in our industry and then helping our individual clients.
Yeah, we're going to get into some of those trends. I want to talk about how brokers are spending their money. you know, I know that you generally every year will provide some benchmarking data to HousingWire in the form of articles. So tell me a little bit about, obviously, occupancy has been a top cost to brokers for years. What are some of the trends you're seeing nationally as far as the operating costs of a brokerage?
We're seeing a lot of fascinating trends, not only over a period of time, but, in recent years as well. Like you said, occupancy has always been one of the biggest expenses for brokerage firms. It's actually the second largest expense behind personnel costs, but occupancy by our measure, it accounts for about 15 to 23% of company dollar. And so that's a big chunk of what brokers are spending their money on. Personnel is actually the biggest expense. And that's the case for a lot of industries, not just our industry. We see about a third of companies, we see companies spend about a third of their company dollar on personnel costs. And that's salaries, payroll expenses, expenses related to, your employees, It also equates to about 3 to 5% of revenue. So about a third of company dollar, or about 3 to 5% of revenues is what our industry spends on personnel. And that's by far the largest expense category. So between occupancy and personnel, that accounts for half of the expenses of the operating expenses that brokerages are spending to run their business. So those two are the biggest chunks of expenses. Obviously, marketing and advertising is another big one. And that can range between 1 and 15% of your company dollar, depending on what region of the country you're operating in and what your model is. That could be a very wide range. You know, firms are spending, money on technology, professional services, but that occupancy and personnel is a biggest chunk, and affecting those two buckets, it can make the biggest impact on your overall spending.
. 2024 is the year to act, to make bold moves, tell better stories, and build brands that endure. At the 1000-Watt Brand and Marketing Summit, we're putting real estate experts like you in a room with some of the greatest marketing minds around, so you can turn your big ideas into action. Join us in Dallas, June 25th through the 27th, for a real estate event designed for doers. Get your tickets at 1000watt.net/summit. That's 1-000-WATT.net/summit. Yeah, and what are some of the trends? Are you seeing occupancy costs, the percentage of company dollar, go down over the years? I mean, we've had a lot of move to some bigger companies going virtual. What are you seeing there?
Yeah. So interestingly, so occupancy is an interesting one. Regardless of the state of the market, we've seen a trend away from brick and mortar. To your point, we've seen even before the pandemic, tech has allowed us to do more business remote and virtual. So of course, the pandemic or COVID, really goosed that trend and kind of forced people to really embrace that if you hadn't been already. The vast majority of brokers who tend to be older in age didn't really know what Zoom, what virtual business was until they were forced to do that in COVID. And so we've definitely seen a trend that has reduced occupancy expenses. We've also seen fast growing firms like EXP and Fathom, with these all virtual models, not spend anything on brick and mortar. And so, obviously more traditional operators, we have seen that trend go down. So let me give you an example. So over the last 10 years, operating expenses for even traditional brokers has gone down about 6%. It's a little harder to make change on that front because you got leases that a lot of time have longer term expirations. And so it's not something you can just go and instantly close offices, because you've got these leases that are a little longer term. And B, because you got to make sure that when you do have a brick and mortar operation, whatever you do on that front doesn't adversely impact your agents. In general, operating expenses have come down across the board. You know, we've seen a huge reduction in company dollar over the years in our industry. And brokers have really had no choice but to get leaner in their spending if they want to maintain some measure of profitability. I mean, think about it, Tracy. 40, 50 years ago, brokers were keeping 30 to 50% of their company dollar, 35% of the commissions that were generated. And that's gone down to about 25% 15 years ago. You know, the nation today, we're seeing about 11 to 13% average in retained company dollar, 11 to 13 cents kept on the dollar of commissions that are earned. And so brokers have really needed to be creative in how they're spending their money. And so they just in general aren't spending as much as they had in the past. Obviously personnel expenses are the easiest to cut. It's the largest bucket, and you can make instant change by cutting personnel expenses. So, as firms see their revenues decline, and this has really been pervasive over the last few years, that's been the first, and unfortunately easiest way to cut expenses. You know, we saw once the market really, turned decisively, we saw a lot of the big firms out there, the Remaxes, the Realogies, all the publicly traded ones. Compass was announcing, big cuts to their personnel spending, layoffs. All firms were doing that, not just the big public companies. They had to announce it because they're public, but that was, most of our clients, they're really taking a close look at how to do that. You know, if you've got a 30 to 40% decline in revenue and company dollar, which is what this market has seen on average over the last few years, kind of trending with existing home sales, then if you're not making some kind of change on your, below the line in operating expenses, you're going to see that fall to your bottom line. So you've got to make changes. And we're coming off a year where it's been, a lot of brokers have been in balance sheet preservation mode, and they've had to enact various changes in how they're spending their money, on where they're spending their money on, and it's not just personnel. We're seeing brokers keeping an eye on what they're spending on professional services, what they're spending on various tech products and marketing expenses, advertising expenses, corporate events. We've seen brokers really dive into their GL to figure out, okay, how can we manage our expenses to manage to what's going on in our industry and to manage to the decline, to manage the revenues that are going down. So we've seen a lot of trends, both over the long term, Tracy, like we mentioned with occupancy related expenses, as we're going more away from brick and mortar, to quick changes that have had to be made in order to survive when there is a significant downturn and we've seen significant headwinds in our market.
So now, the alternative to cutting is obviously adding services. What are some of the more creative services you've seen brokers add, other than mortgage and title and that?
As brokers are diving into their general ledger and figuring out how to cut expenses, they can't cut so aggressively that it's going to significantly impact their agents. They've got to be very careful about that. We tell our clients, we have clients come to us, whether it's for valuation or general consulting, hey, what can we do to better manage our expenses and also to continue to grow? And so in the process of cutting expenses, they got to figure out how to be more efficient with their spending on the recruiting front, on the developing their talent front. So, we've seen some companies, shift their spending and in certain areas, especially, professional services, tech, marketing, and to make sure that they're getting value from the money that they're spending on their vendors. For example, we tell people, look at what you're spending on your vendor contracts, because vendor contracts, are not long-term like leases. Are you getting value? And so we've told our clients, hey, take a close look at what you're spending on your recruiting, what you're spending on how you're recruiting, what you're spending on how you're getting the word out about your company and who is going out there and spending what kind of money on how you're recruiting and developing your agents. And there's certain areas where they can, get more value on how they're spending their money. And so, we see a little bit of shift away from just throwing money at this and that, whether it's print marketing or whatever, companies are definitely reducing that, to how they're more effectively being able to attract much like agents and teams are marketing to their sphere and to marketing to home buyers and sellers, how are brokers marketing to other agents to join their firm? And then how are they developing the agents that are joining their firm or that are already part of their firm to, you know, continue to generate business and to grow their businesses?
Yeah, we've seen this like incredible rise in the RealTrends 500 brokerage rankings of low fee firms or flat fee firms. And in talking to a lot of those brokers, they're hyper focused on increasing productivity at this point. Are you seeing that as a big area for improvement? And are you hearing about a lot of brokers doing that, really focusing on that, where maybe they weren't as hyper-focused on it in previous years?
Yeah, you know, and this ties into what we've been talking about with expenses, right? In this day and age, size and scale matters more than ever. With the compression that we've been seeing on our industry on the top line, with the margin compression, with, as we mentioned, the lost retained company dollar, really one of the ways to combat that is scale. And we've seen, like you said, the brokers, the RealTrends 500. The only way they can combat that in a lot of cases is, you know, adding various affiliate services, adding other revenue streams to their business to where their brokerage operations can feed that, but also just adding volume. But, you know, and that's not only developing their own agents and making acquisitions, has been a big part of that. And the flat fee guys, the only way they can succeed, because their margins are a lot thinner than these traditional brokerage firms, is to grow and to have that scale. Because their margins are thinner, now they spend less in certain areas than a lot of brokerage firms. They don't necessarily spend anything on marketing and advertising. They leave the onus on the agents and the teams for that. They need to grow, and they need to grow fast in order to make sure that it's a scalable business and a profitable business as well. So we're seeing some significant consolidation, not only on the traditional side of things, but on the flat fee side of things, as those firms figure out how to grow and how to stay profitable in an environment where there's ongoing commission compression.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And I want to shift focus to team, because you also do team valuations. And I want to talk about some of the biggest, you know, I know Steve in the past has said to me, you know, I've had teams come to me and I've had to say, you have no value. For various reasons. So talk to me about those reasons and then what they can be doing right now to boost their value, regardless of whether they're planning on selling or doing anything at this point.
Yeah, we've seen a pretty big uptick in team valuations. In the past, when people talk about agents and teams, we talk about them and their personal businesses. You know, all agents and teams have a personal business. But all too often their businesses die with them. And I don't mean to be morbid, you know, I don't necessarily mean them dying, like getting hit by a bus, but when they retire or move on, a lot of times the businesses that high producing agents and teams create don't go beyond when they leave the industry. But more and more we're seeing, team businesses, have an element of value that's beyond a transaction fee. You know, and historically when a team leader or a high producing agent retires or whatever, they're really only, the only thing they can get from their business is a referral fee, passing on to somebody else who's still in the business. But we're seeing teams have an element of value that's beyond that now. And they're actually being, you know, valued as businesses. Of course, the most value are those teams that have, we call business system teams. teams that have a lead gen system that extends beyond their personal sphere, beyond the personal sphere of their owner, for example, some kind of a website or unique marketing system where they're able to generate leads outside of, that initial leader or team or rainmaker's personal database, the people that they've, known and developed personal relationships with. So those business systems that can generate those leads and have that team leader or that former rainmaker, not be part of that or not be highly focused on that, on their sphere of influence, we'll call it the SOI. Those teams are the ones with the most value because they can transfer that. There's transactional value in that system that they've developed and that system they've built. Those teams are the ones with the most value. And that makes sense, because that team leader can go away and that system can continue to generate leads and develop that business. As long as you've got people on your team or people you sell that to that are capable or competent in converting those leads, there's some really good business value. But we're also seeing value in some of those other more common teams, like personality teams. We call personality teams and convenience teams. And those are just teams where you've got, rainmakers who just are, larger than life, and they've got so many leads coming in from their own database that they have brought people in, and all of a sudden they kind of wake up and they've got, 3, 4, 5, 10, 30 agents helping them with the leads that are coming in from their database. They got staff to help with that. They've developed a really good, team based on that personality that they have, or, that convenience team is, for example, a husband and wife, or, two or three really top agents that kind of come together and pool their resources, but it's still kind of based on that system that they've built. And those owners, if they're intentional about building equity value, they can build a business that has transaction value. For example, if they're, a team leader has developed, listing agents to go out on listing appointments for their personal sphere and their personal database, and they're not out there going and doing it all themselves, there's value to that. If they are able to teach the listing agents that work for their team how to develop or how to convert leads from the marketing system they built, and whether that's just mailers to the neighborhood that they're operating in or the community that they're in, teaching them how to make the phone calls and how to work their own database. Those teams were finding that as long as they're intentional about building equity value as part of their transition out of sales into whether it's retirement or whatever, we're showing that there's transaction value. There's great value for teams that originally thought that there wasn't value beyond when they'd left the business. And so we're definitely seeing that. And to answer your question about mistakes, one of the biggest ones, and that kind of goes into what I said, is not planning ahead. When team leaders, sometimes we'll get a call from a team and they'll be like, okay, I want out of the business. I want to sell. And my business is based, pretty much solely on sphere of influence. I built a really good system. I built a really good marketing system. I market to my sphere of influence pretty well. I get really good leads coming in from repeat customers, from referrals from my clients. But I'm still doing all the listing. I'm listing full time. I'm the guy that's going out, guy or gal that's going out and doing all the appointments. And I don't have a successor, but I want to retire. Well, you have a great business. You may be making great money. But if you don't have a plan, or if you don't have a successor at least identified that you can transition that business to, there's still unfortunately not a ton of value to that. So as we consult with people and as we advise teams, planning is the biggest element in developing equity value in that business. We always tell team leaders, the less valuable you are personally to your team, especially in the day-to-day operations of that team, whether it comes to, going out and doing personal listing appointments or, doing, the general business management of running that business, the less valuable you are, the more valuable your business will be.
Yeah, that's great advice. I want to touch on some M&A trends. We went through a period where there was a lot of private equity purchasing brokerage firms, and that kind of ended when the market went down. So what is happening right now? What are you seeing out there?
Tracy, there's no doubt it's been a grind on the M&A scene in recent years. COVID made made a lot of the big purchasers that were out there, the big national players, very gun shy. And then with the recent housing market downturn, we've got certain economic headwinds, whether you want to call it, whether it's the interest rates or the litigious headwinds that we're in, and they remain very cautious. Valuations have naturally been down because of this, the downturn, the uncertainty. It's reduced the seller pool. A lot of the sellers who don't have to sell are more focused on kind of building their businesses back up and creating value that may not be there right now. So you've got a seller pool that's not as great as it used to be because valuations are down, and you've got purchasers that just aren't necessarily making acquisitions the way they used to. A lot of the big national players before COVID, they still haven't come back. Some of them haven't come back yet at all. And others are being very cautious. They're coming back in, and Compass, for example, is probably the most active, based on some of the closed transactions we've seen the second half of last year. But they're all, most are still being very cautious, and they're focusing on their own operations. They're focusing on some low-hanging fruit. We're still seeing acquisitions happen, but it's more kind of low-hanging fruit, roll-ins, being very opportunistic based on situations with their potential targets. And they're just not as willing to open their checkbooks like they have been before. So M&A has certainly been, seen an overall slowdown in recent years. And now with this whole commission litigation situation that's going on today, we're seeing purchasers really want to kind of see how things unfold before they really start to be aggressive on this front. Now that being said, M&A is slowly making a comeback. We think we've seen the bottom in our industry in terms of existing home sales. NAR, for example, is forecasting a 13% bump in existing home sales this year. That's going to boost confidence in our industry. That's going to boost confidence in not only sellers as they position themselves for an exit strategy. But there's always going to be folks that they're going to need to sell, whether it's because they do want that exit strategy, they're coming to retirement, they have to sell, they want to do something else, whatever. So it's going to boost confidence of sellers, and it's also going to boost the confidence of purchasers as we start to see our industry recover from what we think is the bottom in existing home sales. And as we see, hopefully, a year of recovery. Our deal board is starting to expand a little bit. We're seeing more and more sellers come who are interested. And this is not sellers who necessarily have to sell because they're either losing money hand over fist or, something happened in their business, but sellers who are interested in monetizing on their business. And we're getting more and more calls from purchasers who are saying, hey, look, this environment doesn't scare me. I realize that in order to be successful, I need to continue to grow. And I want to take advantage of this environment. I want to make acquisitions, and I want to grow in order to be a top firm in my market or my region or the nation in the years to come. So we're seeing more and more activity. It's not as strong as it has been since before COVID, but we do think there's going to be a resurgence of M&A this year.
Finally, any last thoughts, any advice to brokers or team leaders who might be listening to this on just kind of, managing through this type of market?
Yeah, it's going to be, we're going to touch on this a lot, Tracy, at the gathering, in a couple months. But, there is still a lot of opportunity in this industry for brokers and teams to grow their businesses, to grow their profitability, not only organically, but via M&A as well. As we continue to see this industry come back from its bottom, and housing downturn be in our rearview mirror, we're going to see tremendous opportunity. Unfortunately, I believe that there's going to be an element of consolidation that, because of what's been happening in this industry, is going to force a lot of the smaller. It's going to be harder and harder for smaller businesses to thrive in this industry. And so, a lot of the smaller ones that aren't in it for the long run, don't have that growth mindset, they're going to need to be absorbed by some of these bigger players that understand that they need to continue to grow in order to thrive and survive. But there's going to be some great opportunity this year. There's going to be some great consolidation opportunities, some great opportunities to you know, to go grab some of the agents that are out there that are looking for, you know, firms that are, do have kind of that growth mindset, that are in it for the long run, that are in it to better develop their agents. And it's going to be a fun year. You know, we're going to, you know, I just mentioned this. I think we're going to see a comeback in M&A. And I think after a year, and I'm talking about 2023, after a year where firms have really been focused on, you know, preserving and managing their balance sheet and managing their expenses, you know, a lot of good companies have already done what they can do on the expense front. So now they're going to be like, okay, we've cut all the costs we can cut. We need to either commit to growing and improving our business or doing something else. And so this is going to be the year where companies are really going to have to recenter and refocus, not on cutting costs, but on recruiting and developing their agents and on growth. And so we're going to see a lot of good stuff happen this year in our industry. I think we're going to see more and more news hit the wire with acquisitions that will happen, that, you know, some will surprise people. And there's going to be great opportunities for those brokers out there and for those teams out there that have a growth mindset to really capture this industry and you know, improve their profitability and improve their growth aspects.
Yeah, no risk, no reward, right?
That's right.
Well, Scott, thanks so much for joining the Real Trending Podcast. I look forward to grabbing a drink with you at the gathering. And thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Tracy. It was really wonderful to be with you, and hope to see all you out there at the gathering. We'll have a good time out there.
Thank you for listening to Real Trending. If you haven't already, we'd love it if you'd take a minute to rate the show or leave a comment. And we will see you next week with more news and insights.